The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, and Chapter 24, The Supramental Sense, the final portion of this chapter, mid-page 877. For there is a continuous scale of the planes of consciousness, beginning with the psychical and other belts attached to and dependent on the earth plane, and proceeding through the true independent vital and psychical worlds to the worlds of the gods and the highest supramental and spiritual planes of existence. And these are, in fact, always acting upon our subliminal selves, unknown to our waking mind, and with considerable effect on our life and nature. The physical mind is only a little part of us, and there is a much more considerable range of our being in which the presence, influence, and powers of the other planes are active upon us and help to shape our external being and its activities. The awakening of the psychical consciousness enables us to become aware of these powers, presences, and influences in and around us. And while in the impure or yet ignorant and imperfect mind, this unveiled contact has its dangers. It enables us to, if rightly used and directed, to be no longer their subject, but their master, and to come into conscious and self-controlled possession of the inner secrets of our nature. The psychical consciousness reveals this interaction between the inner and the outer planes, this world and others, partly by an awareness, which may be very constant, vast, and vivid, of their impacts, suggestions, communications to our inner thought and conscious being, and a capacity of reaction upon them there, partly also through many kinds of symbolic, transcriptive, or representative images presented to the different psychical senses. But also there is the possibility of a more direct, concretely sensible, almost material, sometimes actively material communication. A complete, though temporary, physical materialization seems to be possible with the powers, forces, and beings of other worlds and planes. There may even be a complete breaking of the limits of the physical consciousness and the material existence. The awakening of the psychical consciousness liberates in us the direct use of the mind as a sixth sense. And this power may be made constant and normal. The physical consciousness can only communicate with the minds of others or know the happenings of the world around us through external means and signs and indications. And it has beyond this limited action only a vague and haphazard use of the mind's more direct capacities, a poor range of occasional presentiments, intuitions, and messages. Our minds are indeed constantly acting and acted upon by the minds of others through hidden currents of which we are not aware. But we have no knowledge or control of these agencies. The psychical consciousness, as it develops, makes us aware of the great mass of thoughts, feelings, suggestions, will impacts, influence of all kind that we are receiving from others or sending to others, or imbibing from and throwing into the general mind atmosphere around us. As it evolves in power, precision, and clearness, we are able to trace these to their source, or feel immediately their origin and transit to us and direct consciously and with an intelligent will, our own messages. it becomes possible to be aware, more or less accurately and discerningly, of the activities of minds, whether near to us physically or at a distance, to understand, feel, or identify ourselves with their temperament, character, thoughts, feelings, reactions, whether by a psychic sense or a direct mental perception, or by a very sensible and often intensely concrete reception of them into our mind or on its recording surface. At the same time, we can consciously make at least the inner selves and, if they are sufficiently sensitive, the surface minds of others aware of our own inner mental or psychic self and plastic to its thoughts, suggestions, influences, or even cast it or its active image in influence into their subjective, even into their vital and physical being to work there as a helping or molding or dominating power and presence. All these powers of the psychic consciousness need have and often have no more than a mental utility and significance. But it can also be used with a spiritual sense and light and intention in it and for a spiritual purpose. This can be done by a spiritual meaning and use in our psychical interchange with others. And it is largely by a psycho-spiritual interchange of this kind that a master in yoga helps his disciple. The knowledge of our inner subliminal and psychic nature, of the powers and presences and influences there, and the capacity of communication with other planes and their powers and beings can also be used for a higher than any mental or mundane object, for the possession and mastering of our whole nature and the overpassing of the intermediate planes on the way to the supreme spiritual heights of being. But the most direct spiritual use of the psychic consciousness is to make it an instrument of contact, communication, and union with the divine. A world of psycho-spiritual symbols is already opened up, illuminating, and potent and living forms and instruments, which can be made a revelation of spiritual significances, a support for our spiritual growth, and the evolution of spiritual capacity and experience, a means towards spiritual power, knowledge, or ananda. The mantra is one of these psycho-spiritual means. At once a symbol, an instrument, and a sound body for the divine manifestation. And of the same kind are the images of the Godhead, and of its personalities or powers used in meditation or for adoration in yoga. The great forms or bodies of the divine are revealed through which he manifests his living presence to us. And we can, more easily by their means, intimately know, adore, and give ourselves to him, and enter into the different lokas, worlds of his habitation and presence, where we can live in the light of his being. His word, command, adesha, presence, touch, guidance, can come to us through our spiritualized psychic consciousness and, as a subtly concrete means of transmission from the spirit, it can give us a close communication and nearness to him through all our psychic senses. These and many more are the spiritual uses of the psychic consciousness and sense and, although capable of limitation and deformation, for all secondary instruments can be also by our mental capacity of exclusive self-limitation means of a partial but at the same time hindrances to a more integral realization. They are of the greatest utility on the road to the spiritual perfection and afterwards, liberated from the limitation of our minds, transformed and supermentalized, an element of rich detail in the spiritual ananda. As the physical and vital, the psychical consciousness and sense also are capable of a supramental transformation and receive by it their own integral fullness and significance. The supermind lays hold on the psychical being, descends into it, changes it into the mold of its own nature, and uplifts it to be a part of the supramental action and state, the suprapsychic being of the Vijnana Purusha. The first result of this change is to base the phenomena of the psychical consciousness on their true foundation, by bringing into it the permanent sense, the complete realization, the secure possession of the oneness of our mind and soul with the minds and souls of others, and the mind and soul of universal nature. For always, the effect of the supramental growth is to universalize the individual consciousness. As it makes us live, even in our individual vital movement and its relations with all around us, with the universal life, so it makes us think and feel and sense, although through an individual center or instrument, with the universal mind and psychical being. This has two results of great importance. First, the phenomena of the psychical sense and mind lose the fragmentariness and incoherence, or else difficult regulation, and often quite artificial order, which pursues them even more than it pursues our more normal mental activities of the surface. And they become the harmonious play of the universal inner mind and soul in us, assume their true law and right forms and relations, and reveal their just significances. Even on the mental plane, one can get, by the spiritualizing of the mind, at some realization of soul oneness. But it is never really complete, at least in its application, and does not acquire this real and entire law, form, relation, complete and unfailing truth and accuracy of its significances. And, secondly, the activity of the psychical consciousness loses all character of abnormality, of an exceptional, irregular, and even a perilously supernormal action, often bringing a loss of hold upon life, and a disturbance or an injury to other parts of the being. It not only acquires its own right order within itself, but its right relation with the physical life on one side and with the spiritual truth of being on the other. And the whole becomes a harmonious manifestation of the embodied spirit. It is always the originating supermind that contains within itself the true values, significances, and relations of the other parts of our being, and its unfolding is the condition of the integral possession of our self and nature. The complete transformation comes on us by a certain change, not merely of the poise or level of our regarding conscious self, or even of its law and character, but also of the whole substance of our conscious being. Till that is done, the supramental consciousness manifests above the mental and psychical atmosphere of being, in which the physical has already become a subordinate and, to a large extent, a dependent method of our self's expression. And it sends down its power, light, and influence into it to illuminate and transfigure. But only when the substance of the lower consciousness has been changed, filled potently, wonderfully transformed, swallowed up, as it were, into the greater energy and sense of being, Maham, Brihat, of which it is a derivation and projection, do we have the perfected, entire and constant supramental consciousness. The substance, the conscious ether of being in which the mental or psychic consciousness and sense live and see and feel and experience, is something subtler, freer, more plastic than that of the physical mind and sense. As long as we are dominated by the latter, psychical phenomena may seem to us less real, hallucinatory even. But the more we acclimatize ourselves to the psychical and to the ether of being which it inhabits, the more we begin to see the greater truth, and to sense the more spiritually concrete substance of all to which its larger and freer mode of experience bears witness. Even the physical may come to seem to itself unreal and hallucinatory, but this is an exaggeration, a new misleading exclusiveness due to a shifting of the center and a change of action of the mind and sense, or else may seem at any rate less powerfully real. When, however, the psychical and physical experiences are well combined in their true balance, we live at once in two complementary worlds of our being, each with its own reality. But the psychical revealing all that is behind the physical, the soul view and experience taking precedence and enlightening and explaining the physical view and experience. The supramental transformation again changes the whole substance of our consciousness. It brings in an ether of greater being, consciousness, sense, life, which convicts the psychical also of insufficiency and makes it appear by itself an incomplete reality and only a partial truth of all that we are and become and witness. All the experiences of the psychical are accepted and held up indeed in the supramental consciousness and its energy. But they are filled with the light of a greater truth, the substance of a greater spirit. The psychical consciousness is first supported and enlightened, then filled and occupied with the supramental light and power, and the revealing intensity of its vibrations. Whatever exaggeration, whatever error born of isolated incidents, insufficiently illumined impression, personal suggestion, misleading influence and intention, or other cause of limitation or deformation, interferes in the truth of the mental and psychical experience and knowledge, is revealed and cured or vanishes, failing to stand in the light of the self-truth, satyam, ritam, of things, persons, happenings, indications, representations proper to this greater largeness. All the psychical communications, transcriptions, impresses, symbols, images, receive their true value, take their right place, are put into their proper relations. The psychical intelligence and sensation are lit up with the supramental sense and knowledge. Their phenomena, intermediate between the spiritual and material worlds, begin to reveal automatically their own truth and meaning, and also the limitations of their truth and significance. The images presented to the inner sight, hearing, sensation of all kinds, are occupied by or held in a larger and more luminous mass of vibrations, a greater substance of light and intensity, which brings into them the same change as in the things of the physical sense, a greater totality, precision, revealing force of sense knowledge carried in the image. And finally, all is lifted up and taken into the supermind and made a part of the infinitely luminous consciousness, knowledge, and experience of the supramental being, the Vijnana Purusha. The state of the being after this supramental transformation will be, in all its parts of consciousness and knowledge, that of an infinite and cosmic consciousness acting through the universalized individual Purusha. The fundamental power will be an awareness of identity, a knowledge by identity, an identity of being, of consciousness, of force of being and consciousness, of delight of being, an identity with the infinite, the divine, and with all that is in the infinite, all that is the expression and manifestation of the divine. This awareness and knowledge will use as its means and instruments a spiritual vision of all that the knowledge by identity can found, a supramental real idea and thought of the nature of direct thought vision, thought hearing, thought memory that reveals, interprets, or represents to the awareness the truth of all things, and an inner truth speech that expresses it, and finally, a supramental sense that provides a relation of contact in substance of being with all things and persons and powers and forces in all the planes of existence. The supramental will not depend on the instrumentation, for example, of the sense, as the physical mind is dependent on the evidence of our senses, although it will be capable of making them a starting point for the higher forms of knowledge, as it will also be capable of proceeding directly through these higher forms and making the sense only a means of formation and objective expression. The supramental being will transform at the same time and take up into itself the present thinking of the mind, transfigured into an immensely larger knowledge by identity, knowledge by total comprehension, knowledge by intimate perception of detail and relation, all direct, immediate, spontaneous, all the expression of the self's already existent eternal knowledge. It will take up, transform, supramentalize the physical sense, the sixth sense capacities of the mind, and the psychic consciousness and senses, and use them as the means of an extreme inner objectivization of experience. Nothing will be really external to it, for it will experience all in the unity of the cosmic consciousness, which will be its own, the unity of being of the infinite, which will be its own being. It will experience matter, not only gross matter, but the subtle and the most subtle, as substance and form of the spirit. Experience life and all kinds of energy as the dynamics of the spirit. Supramentalized mind as a means or channel of knowledge of the spirit. Supermind as the infinite self of knowledge and power of knowledge and ananda of knowledge of the spirit. End of chapter 24, page 884.